Solutions. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Thanks for jumping in, America. We're glad you're here. Christina Ellis, number one best-selling author, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Catherine's in Ocala, Florida. Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Better than we deserve. What's up?
So I have a question. My husband is currently enrolled for fall semester down at UCF. And we are trying to cash flow college because that is the one thing that we haven't taken debt out on is a student loan. So we're trying to continue that. And my question is, would it be a smart decision, wise decision, however you want to state it, to sell our house and rent for a couple months to get the equity out of our house, pay off all of our debt, and be able to cash flow all of his college?
How much do you owe on your house right now, and what's your monthly payment?
We owe $111,000 on our house, and our monthly payment right now with homeowners insurance and all that stuff is $1,100.
Okay, and how much is the house worth?
The house is worth right now, comps in the area are going for $285.
I mean, $1,100 a month is a good payment. If you were going to rent somewhere, how much do you think rent's going to be?
It would be roughly right now we're seeing about $1,600 a month. But the only reason why we thought about doing the renting was because then all of our credit cards would be paid off, our cars would be paid off, everything. So then it would actually lower our monthly expenses in that area.
How much debt on those things?
Total is $82,000.
Okay. And what do you owe on your cars each?
You won't be happy. So one is $50,000, and then the other one we owe $12,000.
Okay. And what's your husband studying?
Engineering.
Okay.
We have four semesters left.
Four semesters of engineering left. And what do you make?
I right now make right at $60,000 a year. Okay. He works full-time and goes to school full-time. I work full-time. I am a night shift nurse.
So the only question is, because you've got all these payments, you can't pay for tuition. That's what's jamming you up, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
So what if I said you're selling the wrong thing?
What do you mean?
Well, a $50,000 car does not fit in this equation.
Correct.
So sell the stupid thing. I mean, your payment's, $900?
It's almost as much as your house payment.
What is it?
Not quite.
$800.
$70. Okay. The only reason why we're not is because we would then be upside down with it.
Whoop-de-doop-de. $770 a month will put you through school. Go buy a $2,000 car and let's, clean out your garage, have a garage sale, and start knocking out some of these credit cards. But you have a car problem, is all you've got.
Mm-hmm.
How much could you sell that car for?
How much could I sell it for? Mm-hmm. Right now it's going for about $45,000.
Who said?
Kelly Blue Book.
For trade-in?
No, for private sale.
Okay, so you're $5,000 upside down.
Yes.
Yeah, so run down to the credit union and get you a $7,000 loan, buy you a $2,000 car, and get rid of $50,000 worth of car payments.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you're trading your home for this stupid car. Bad trade.
I think the only reason why we'd be willing to do
Listen, you do whatever you want to do, but I just told you what to do.
No, I understand. I understand. Yeah.
You're going to do whatever you want to do, but this is what I mean. There is no question the fly in the ointment here is not your house. The fly in the ointment is not your income. The fly in the ointment, the thing that stands out when you give us your situation, that just stands out like a sore thumb is this ridiculous car, and you are so in love with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you're willing to sell your home and move your children for this stupid butt car. That's what it comes down to. You need to get rid of the stupid butt car.
Well, if you do that, you've got about $30,000 left, which that's very doable to pay that off.
Well, you don't even have to worry about it. I mean, you just cash flow that and basically don't even reduce it. Just pay minimum payments on everything. Get your butt on a really tight beans and rice budget. Get husband through four only semesters left. And everybody work extra jobs. No vacations. Quit eating out. Tighten down your dadgum budget. You got an $1,100 house payment. You can make it on that. And you're going to be in great shape. You're going to come out of this thing. But, you know, there's one thing standing in your way. I might even sell the other one.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of car. That's a lot of car. And then he's going to be an engineer after all that. So it's like he's going to have an engineering job. She makes $60K. Like, y'all are going to be.
And he's working full time.
Right.
Yeah, they got the money. You got the money to do this. You just, no. You're looking for an easy way out. Don't do it. Please don't do it. You can do what you want to do, but you called here. And the problem with calling here is we're going to tell you what to do.
Right.
And we're right. That's the other thing. Keep that in mind. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. We're probably right, though. And experts on our opinion, that we are. Okay.
Right.
Bernie's in Sacramento. What's up, Bernie?
Just living the dream out here in amazing conservative California.
What? How can we help today with your illusions?
Yes. Well, I got to say I'm a big fan. I've always known of you, but my wife and I, she's really the one that got us turned on to the whole baby steps thing, and we've been following it pretty well. And,
cool.
What can I say?
What's your question today?
A lot. Currently, we're paying off a lot of our debts, and we've paid off around $40,000 out of the $80,000 that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And we are trying to make a decision on whether or not we should invest money into our property, which would help give us a more of a monthly income, or put it towards the house and paying the house off sooner.
What about the other debts? You need to clear the other debts before we have this discussion.
Well, yeah, no, of course. Yes.
Oh, okay. Then once you've gotten rid of the other $40,000, then do you put money into a rental property or pay off your house?
Yes.
How much money are we talking about?
So I live on just about 5 acres, and there's two kind of run-down guest houses, and our plan is to remodel them.
How much money are we talking about?
About $10,000 each.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I would do that before I paid off my house, get two rental properties engaged. But only after the $40,000 is gone and the emergency fund's in place. Now we're down to baby step 4, 5, 6 stuff at that point. And that's when we would do that. Hey, good question, Bernie. This is The Ramsey Show. Saw a study that really made me sad. It showed that families owning life insurance in the U.S. was at its lowest point since the 1970s. After what we've been through the past few years, I'm just lost on how people don't make this more of a priority. How are you going to make sure your family needs are met if something happens to you? This is why getting term life is an absolute necessity. Rates have never been cheaper, and the whole process to apply is pretty simple, with many companies not even requiring an exam anymore. This is why I send you to Zander Insurance, and I have for almost 25 years. They'll make sure you get the right protection at the lowest cost possible, and they're there for you and your family every day. I challenge all of you to make sure your families are protected. It needs to be a top priority. Call Zander at 800-356-4282 or visit Zander.com. That's 800-356-4282 or Zander.com. Christina Ellis, number one best-selling author, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. I'm Dave Ramsey, your host. A lot of people would rather spend their weekend doing yard work than talk about insurance, even in the heat. But here's the deal. If you don't take the time to learn about insurance, you're going to always feel like you're getting ripped off, probably because you are. Around here, we think learning about money topics should be simple, and hey, here's an idea, even fun. Our new Confidence in Your Coverage 5-day video series with our friend George Camel makes learning about insurance quick and practical. You might even laugh out loud, because it is, after all, George. Every day for 5 days, Ramsey personality George Camel will walk you through a new insurance topic, unpacking everything you need to know. These are quick little videos that teach you a lot in a short period of time. At the end of the series, you'll still have the hard work, but you'll know your stuff when it comes to insurance. George Camel, check it out. It's completely free. Go to RamseySolutions.com/confidence and sign up for the Confidence in Your Coverage 5-day video series completely free. RamseySolutions.com/confidence. Dan's in New York City. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Well, I need to know if I can afford a new truck or not. I need somebody to give me the go-ahead or knock some sense into me.
We are specialists at knocking sense. That's what we do around here. We're sense knockers. Oh, my gosh. So how much is the truck?
It is $52,000.
Cool. What kind of truck?
It is a 2019 F-150 Limited.
Sweet truck. Very nice. What do you make a year?
My wife and I, we make $242,000 a year gross before a bonus.
Cool. What's your net worth?
Our net worth is around $450,000.
Excellent. And you have the cash for the truck?
We do have the cash, but I am hesitant to drop it all. I was considering taking
out
a three-year loan.
Then don't buy the truck.
Got it. So financing is off the charts.
Yeah. Off the table. Here's the thing. Here's what I just did. You just emotionally, during this conversation, you emotionally decided whether you want the truck or not because you had to pay for it. See, what debt is it's a form of denial. It's like, I didn't really buy it. I just sort of rented it. You know, that's what the psychology of it is. But when you got to freaking pay for it and you go, I have a $450,000 net worth. I make $250,000 a year. I'm going to write a $50,000 check for an F-150 19 model, which is a sweet truck.
It is.
Now you're going, yeah, okay. But
right.
You actually, mathematically, from the arithmetic that I heard, can afford it.
Can I give you one more curveball?
You can try.
At my next promotion at work, which would be about a year and a half from now, I get a car allowance for what's currently $500 a month.
Car allowances come whether you have payments or not.
That's a good point. I don't know the exact details. I thought I'd have to have the loan to
get
paid.
Nope. It's a car allowance. They allow, because they're going to run the car that you have in the dirt. Please don't drive this truck unless you're, if you're on the road. Are you a road warrior?
No. Okay. No, I commute to an office. It's just a perk they try to give you.
Oh, okay. Right.
Do you have any debt currently?
Just the mortgage. We recently paid off our student loans and my wife's car.
That's awesome. And you have a fully funded emergency fund?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Okay. What's kind of your hesitation?
Maybe a little overfunded.
So, yeah, wait a minute. Let me, how do you react when I say the fact that you want to take out payments is a form of denial?
I get it. I deny myself things all the time. No.
That's not the kind of denial I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're denying that you spent money.
I think that it's, might be kicking the can down the line.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't register in your emotions that you freaking just spent $50,000 for a truck. That's the denial I'm talking about.
Right. Right.
Like, I'm in denial type of denial. Not I'm willing to deny myself, I'm willing to be in discipline so that I win. That's not what I'm talking about.
Sure. No, I hear you.
You are not the spender at your house. Your wife is. You are the nerd.
I would say yes, but she's definitely on board.
Yeah, but I'm not saying she's not on board. I'm not saying she's not mature. I'm just saying tightwads have trouble with stuff like this. Spenders don't. I would have already bought the truck.
Well, I know you have the Raptor. So I forgot to call him the right guy.
And it was more than that, but I got more money too, so it's a fair ratio. But still, you really ought to go buy the truck, but don't do it unless you're going to pay for it. Okay.
Okay. I mean, we got it. I got to do some math to see if I'm comfortable with reducing. I have a overfunded emergency fund because, like you said, I'm the nerd.
If you're going to pay cash for the truck and not damage your emergency fund, I would buy this truck in your situation.
Awesome.
But if you're not going to pay cash for it, I would never buy any kind of vehicle. I will ride a bicycle before I have a freaking car payment again. You know, you just don't run into wealthy people that go, you know, I've had a car payment for 40 years. That's how I became a millionaire. It never comes up. It never in any of our studies did we find that.
Right. Well, and I mean, it's great that he's such a saver and he's aggressive with the savings, but it's hard for some people to actually spend even when they have the money.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
But he can afford it. It's a really nice truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beast of a truck. That Ford is making a great truck. And supposedly, they're all going to go electric, so you might want to get one of those gas puppies while you can. But I don't know if they're really going to pull that off or not. Because that is the most popular truck in America, the 150. It's like a super sales thing for Ford. They make a bazillion dollars off of it. If the bozos take the gas engine out of that thing, they're going to kill themselves. Because who do you think buys trucks? It's not Tesla drivers, people. It's rednecks. Okay, come on.
It's not Rachel
George.
Have
a brain, really. Seriously. Rednecks or wannabe rednecks. And none of them drive batteries. Oh, my God. So, well, who knows? We'll see how it works out. It's just a marketing thing for me. But, yeah. So, know your market. Know your market. Know your market. It's not Obama. Just know your market. Oh, my God. So, but
it's not Rachel and George and their Tesla.
It's not Rachel and George. Neither one of them have got an F-150. Now, Rachel's husband, however, you know. Yeah, he's definitely got a truck. But so there's one in the family. At least we got that part down with Rachel anyway, yeah. But, So here's the thing with vehicles. Let's hit it again. Our rule on a vehicle is unless you have at least $1 million net worth, don't buy brand new because they go down in value like a rock. That's where Chevy got that, like a rock. Okay, so they go down in value so fast. All right, rule number two is don't have a total of all your vehicles. Boats, Sea-Doos, their sisters, motorcycles, four-wheelers, snowmobiles, cars, zero-turn lawnmowers. Add up all the crap you've got with wheels and engines, and if it equals more than half your annual income, you've got too much invested in things that go down in value because everything I just said goes down in value. And you don't get wealthy buying things that go down in value and investing the vast majority of your dadgum income in toys that go down in value. I like stuff with motors. I'm a classic redneck. Anything that goes budden budden, I'm ready to go, man. But is the worst financial thing you can do. And I know people that spent more on their stupid lawnmower than they did their car.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's definitely a redneck thing for sure.
Well, and it's not that you can never have nice cars and nice things. It's just living in a certain way now where you save and you're frugal so that someday you can have whatever car you want.
Oh, I drove an incredible car to work today. It's absolutely amazing. But it's a small percentage of my world.
Right.
That's the point. And so, but when you got a $50,000 car and your husband wants an engineering degree, hello, you with payments on it, you got your priorities out of order.
Right. Especially when you make $60,000.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, well, we don't know what he made. We never got that part. But still, that tells you that this is screwed up. And so the mantra, you want to identify what middle class looks like? When you drive up in front of a small, newish house and it has two brand new cars parked in front of it. This is people that are going to be middle class for the next decade plus unless they straighten their dadgum mess up. You drive down these streets of these new, smallish houses. They got brand new cars in front of every one of them. Like double brand new cars. Like double stupid. This is people that are putting their money in the wrong stuff. This is the Ramsey Show. Christina Ellis, number one best-selling author, Ramsey Personalities, my co-host today. in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. John and Emily are with us. Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Great. How are you?
Better than we deserve. Welcome. Where do you live?
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh, good. Good to have you. Thanks for being with us. And how much debt have you paid off?
We paid off $300,000 in debt.
And how long did this take?
6.5 years.
All right. And your range of income during that time?
It was about 100 to just about 200.
Okay. 100 to 200. What do you guys do for a living?
I am a senior claims adjuster for insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an attorney.
Ah, good. Okay, cool. Very good. What kind of debt was all this?
260 of it was student loans.
Oh, the attorneys and the senior claims adjuster.
It was me. Let's be honest. It was me.
I was trying to get you off the hood,
yeah,
but
nice
I knew.
Of you, yeah. But yeah, it was me.
It was the law school. And then she had a new car, and I had a used car.
Okay. All right. How long have y'all been married?
3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. But you started working on it 6.5 years ago.
Yeah. Probably about 4 years ago is when he really convinced me to do it. So I would say 4 years of really, truly living it, but 6.5 total.
Okay. All right. Very cool. So tell us the story. How'd you get hooked up with this Ramsey thing and decide to do this after you got married?
Well, after we got married, well, in high school, I had taken it through our church. So I had the head knowledge. Must have flunked it because I went out and got a bunch of student loans and a used car. For about a year after that, I said, I need to start budgeting. I was doing a budget. I was doing Dave-ish, you know, a pitcher of beer with the coworkers became an emergency, and it was...
Oh, it's definitely an emergency.
Oh, my gosh. I think I had a...
The college emergency, for sure.
It was terrible. I was not really following a budget. I knew what I was supposed to be doing, and I was not doing it. And about a year into that, I discovered I had another student loan that I wasn't aware of. And it was more than I had paid off in the year prior, even though I knew what I was supposed to be doing. And I got mad. I was mad at the situation. I was mad at myself. And I said, never again am I doing this. I've worked harder than I've ever worked in my entire life, and I've lost ground, and that's not acceptable to me. I'm done doing that. And right in the middle of that renewed enthusiasm, I asked her out on a date.
And the end of the story is you get her, but you also got her student loans with her.
Yeah,
come with the package.
I met her. It was like our second date. And, you know, like, here's what I'm doing. You know, I'm never again debt-free. Like, this is never happening.
And she's like, I have a mortgage.
Yeah, she's like, I've got like $240,000 in student loans. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That's fun.
I think our second date, he told me, I think we could have your student loans paid off in this amount of time. I'm like, whoa, we just met. But he already had it planned out.
He's a real romantic, isn't he?
Right, yeah.
I mean,
numbers.
Come on,
numbers,
dude.
Right?
The second date, we're discussing paying off your student loans.
Yep. Right, that's how committed he was.
I'm telling you, that's kind of an informal proposal. You got to be careful when you got doing that on a second date. But yeah. So this is a pitcher of beer guy, too. Keep this in mind.
Right.
Yeah.
So what really convinced you to get on board after the second date? And you're like, whoa, like, where'd you go?
Well, we were engaged. And so I think at that point we were engaged. And he had just paid off his student loans. And so we'd moved in together at that point. And I'm like, okay, I need to get serious if we're going to get married and go on our honeymoon and have a baby. And yeah.
So
yeah.
What did the journey look like? Because that's a lot of debt to pay off.
Oh, it was so long. I did mine in 2.5 years. I made her wait until I got done with mine to propose. Bought the ring. We cash flowed a wedding and a honeymoon. We have a 1-year-old or a 1.5-year-old. We cash flowed a baby. We got a second baby on the way. And we did so many things to really cut down on expenses. That was our. We went deeper and deeper. And every step of the way that you go, you think. Are we prepared to sacrifice X so that we can get there this much faster? Mm. And we did that over and over and over and over again. We moved multiple times to get cheaper cost of living. We commuted for 2 years. We commuted for 3 hours each for a career opportunity.
Wow.
And I hate commuting.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, my gosh. It was hour and a half in the morning, hour and a half.
That's
and I got
work.
This stinking jalopy that I'm hauling up and down the highway. It's uncomfortable. It's ugly. The paint's missing off of most of it.
I hope you took a picture of it.
Yeah. But we still have it.
We still got the car.
We still do. Yeah, we do. And,
planted flowers in it.
I want to scrap it, blow it up. There's some kind of like army.
Take it out to some demolition site.
Exactly.
I'm going to shoot this with exploding ammunition.
Test the new missiles on this thing. Please just take it. Oh, my Lord. And, it was hard to do it for that long.
Y'all just sacrificed. That's amazing.
Yeah. I could have bought a new car. Nobody would have blinked. You could have made the excuse. Anybody would have understood it.
You're very disciplined, though.
And
he is very.
Yeah. And so I test drove a car 3 times, Dave. I got this close.
Man, that's good. That's bad medicine right there. You start that. It's hard to get back. That's a slippery slope. Once you've done that, it's like, oh.
It was. That
really hard to not come home with that thing and go, look what I did.
Yeah. There was a couple of them that were really comfortable.
I bet.
But I'd look at it and I'd say, do we want to do this for this much longer? Mm. Even if we pay cash for this used car, that's going to push us back this much longer. We're doing it. And no. The answer was
now
no.
Now that you're there and you're completely free, Emily, was it worth it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now that I'm at the light, you know, I've reached the light at the end of the tunnel, mm-hmm. absolutely, without a doubt. Yes.
But the journey's a pain in the butt.
Oh, man. Yes, it is.
Yeah. It is. So you said that, John, you said that you took the class back in high school and it didn't completely click. It kind of like planted a seed. What would you tell the high school version of yourself, knowing what you know now?
I chose a school that I had a bunch of scholarships, like academic scholarships. I could have chosen a school that I would pay very little or free. My brother mm-hmm. was in a similar situation, and he went to a college. He chose a college and graduated with nothing. And I could have done that. But there was this other one that was a little bit shinier. I think they had a travel abroad thing that I did for 2 weeks. So
changed your life.
Completely. Oh, yeah. It was worth every penny of that. Not.
Foreign beer.
Not.
Foreign beer.
Yeah.
Beer drunk abroad is a big deal.
Absolutely. And so you got to be smarter than that. I didn't really think long term about that decision.
That's a good word, because so many students feel like they've got to go to the fancy, shiny school, and in hindsight, it's usually not worth it if it results in thousands and thousands of dollars in student loans.
Rachel studied Spanish abroad. She talked us into this one semester. Ask her to speak Spanish next time you talk to her. See how far you get. I pick up more Spanish in Cabo than she picked up studying abroad.
Right. Okay?
I can actually order food and stuff, and she can't even get out of the restaurant. It's unbelievable. Yeah, so that stuff. Golly, man. With the stuff we do, all of us. Man, you guys are amazing. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How's it feel, everybody? Tell everybody to be completely free, John. You did it.
Oh, it's amazing. It feels so good. 6.5 years is a long time to really...
A
lot happened. That's a huge amount of life that happened. We stayed the course. It's worth it 100%. That's our son.
Great shot.
Oh, man, it was great. We went to the lake. That was one of the things we did afterwards. We got both sides of the family. We went to the lake.
The kiddo in the Adirondack chair. All right, we got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That's the next chapter in your story. You are on your way, and a copy of Total Money Makeover. You can give that to somebody, inspire them to move in the direction you have of freedom. Way to go. Financial Peace University for a year. Membership to that. $300,000 paid off in 6.5 years. Quite a story, making 100 to 200. John and Emily from Lafayette, Indiana, or Lafayette, depending on where you're from. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
3, 2, 1.
We're debt-free!
Yeah! That's how it's done, boys and girls. Gotta love it. This is the Ramsey Show. Christina Ellis, Ramsey personality, number one best-selling author, is my co-host today. Caroline is with us in Chicago. Hi, Caroline. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi. Thank you for having me today.
Sure. What's up?
So I'm really excited to say that we are in baby step three. We just kicked a lot of debt to the curb, and looking forward, I'm exploring another master's degree, and I really don't want to go back into baby step two. And
good. So what are you studying? What's your master's going to be in?
It would be in educational leadership.
Cool. What's the first master's in?
I'm a reading specialist.
Oh, good. So. Oh, man. What great degrees.
Yeah.
What
do you want to do with the extra master's?
My own administrators, my own bosses have really been encouraging me to take this path. It's something that many have suggested to me kind of along my career, and I never really thought of it as an option because we were still carrying so much debt from our undergraduate and my first master's degree. And so now that that's behind us, it just seems like these doors keep opening, and I want to be able to go down to that next route.
I love it.
So,
what's it cost?
I think it's going to be about $20,000 for a 2-year program, which
that's
I
reasonable.
Think is really reasonable.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
I think it's very reasonable. And it's a cohort, which is awesome because
yeah.
you just build a community of learners around you. And again, like I said,
well, they'll be lifelong friends. They'll be lifelong friends.
Right.
Because you're so specialized
right.
and nuanced, and you've got a heart for a certain thing, you'll be knit together forever. That's wonderful.
Right. So I've been looking for scholarships because my own children are about 2 to 3 years away from college themselves. And so we've had a lot of conversations about going to college debt-free and not taking on loans. And so now is my turn to kind of practice what we're preaching. And so I've been exploring a lot of different websites and financial aid finders and starting the process of applying to different scholarships. And my question is kind of twofold. Like, one, at this point, because we are debt-free, we are able to kind of cash flow at least the fall semester and see where that takes me after it. But by doing that, we kind of slow down our process of moving into, you know, finishing baby step three and then moving into, you know, 4, 5, and 6. So we have good momentum. I don't really want to slow that down right now. But most of the grants and scholarships that I'm finding are really geared towards undergraduates. For understandable reasons. And so I'm wondering if you would advise or give any resources towards graduate program specific financial scholarships, or would you just say, you know what, this is, you know, a sinking fund and, you know, continue to cash flow because you can.
Well, I would definitely continue to explore both options. I think it's awesome that you already see that you can pay for the fall, that you're able to cash flow that and save, and also continue to search for scholarships. You said that your bosses are really interested in you going back for this program. Have you talked to them at all about possible tuition assistance or helping you out with that?
I have. That's a great question. I have, and some school districts do have reimbursement programs are available, but at this time, my district does not. I have asked that question. It really comes down to negotiations between the district and the teachers union, if that is included in next year's contract or not. So,
okay,
that's as much as they can do. And I also did ask the university, the woman who's leading the cohort, if knowing that we're not being reimbursed, because there will be other people in the cohort whose districts are reimbursing them, I said, knowing that my district is not, you know, is there any flexibility here, you know, or is there any other, wiggle room? And she said no. So,
hey, that's a great question, though. It's yes. I mean, I've always said, shame on me if I don't ask. You know, it's worth giving right. it a shot. So good on that. Are you set on a specific school? It sounds like you've already picked the university.
I have, because it's a cohort and it's kind of supported, you know, with, other school districts in my area.
What's your household income?
About $250.
Okay. Just pay for it. I mean, you can search around, poke around for scholarships, but you can afford it.
Right. We can. I guess my concern is we'll really slow down achieving, baby step three.
No, you really should. Not much. I mean, you may slow down going out to eat, but you're not going to slow down baby step three.
Right.
I mean, you make $250,000 a year. Baby step three, you knock it out. It's only 20
yeah,
grand.
Yeah, we hope to be there by December, so.
Yeah, I mean, you should be.
Well, and it's 20 grand yeah. over 2 years.
How much are you putting in your emergency fund? What's your target?
We want to have about 35,000 in it.
Okay, 35,000 and 20,000 to pay for the whole program is 55,000 out of $250,000. I'm right. doing big math here, and I'm not having trouble with this.
Right. I think we feel really behind on retirement and our own, you know, saving for our own college tuition for our
yeah,
own children.
I think you know. So here's the thing. Okay, we're trying to get you through a 2-year program. We're trying to get them through a 4-year program that hasn't even started yet.
Right.
And you've got the income to do this. So you may need to, you know, you may need to put some distant future things, turn them down a little bit, turn this up a little bit, and then, you know, do some adjustment back and forth. But you've got the cash flow to do all three of these things. Send your kids to school, yourself to school, and finish the emergency fund. And you've got the money to do it in short order. But you're going to have to really look at other stuff in your budget and go, where's the $250,000 a year going that I can't find 50 grand? And when you do that, then you start going, huh, there it is. And there it is. And oh, there it is. And we're done. We got that beefed up and that beefed up and that beefed up. It can go away. I mean, $250,000, you can spend it pretty quick. It's not, but I'm not saying you're being wasteful or something like that. But what you are going to do is, you know, it might be that we light pedal kiddos college right now, savings, heavy pedal the emergency fund, finish the emergency fund and get your tuition, keep your tuition moving along in the budget, and talk to your university again. Go above the lady's head that said there's no help. I'm paying cash for this out of my pocket. I want a discount for cash, not I'm pitiful they don't give me reimbursement. Dadgum, people, I'm giving you money, give me a deal. And mess with them a little bit. I mean, just bust up into, yeah, I'm thinking it's good for higher ed people to hear occasionally that they're overpriced.
Right. They probably need to hear it more because a lot of people are struggling with that. And there are grad school scholarships, like you said, that they're a little bit harder to find than undergrad.
They're hard.
Yeah. It's more competitive and, you know, it just takes a bit of research. But on this income, I'm with Dave. I would say just go ahead and cash flow, because in the amount of time you're going to spend researching and applying for scholarships, y'all are making so much money that you should be able to pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go searching for some of them, that's fine. That they are more of a needle in a haystack. I think you're going to have more. I would call the president of that university and just mess with them. I mean, one more time, like you said, shame on me for not asking. But even if you got a 10% discount, it's $2,000. It's worth a phone call. But I mean, so what's my discount for cash again? Oh, nothing. Wait a minute. That doesn't work for me. You know, and just have this conversation. Be a little bit sassy with it. It's kind of fun. Because they don't ever have people do that. And it sets them back on their heels. People go, oh, I'm so thankful I got in. What? I got the opportunity to give you people money? Oh, I'm thankful for that. You know, that isn't that interesting how we've gotten this whole thing reversed? So, yeah, where if you went in to spend, if you were going in to buy a car, you'd negotiate their dadgum hat off, you know? I mean, oh, my gosh. So yeah, I'm going to mess with them, and I'm going to cash flow it if I'm in your shoes. You are doing the right thing. I love your degree field. I love it's a cohort. Like I said earlier, I think those will be friends for life. Not just, I mean, it's like the best kind of fraternity. It, you know, it didn't involve over drinking. It involved over studying. And so, you know, this kind of stuff. So it's really good.
Right. And I know it's a cohort, but there are other schools that have cohort programs, and some of these other schools actually have fully funded grad programs. And I don't know where you are locationally and if there's schools in that region, but there are a lot of programs that are fully funded. So,
Even if you didn't go there, I'd go find one of those and wave it under this president's nose and go, hey, I'm about to leave.
Right.
Got other choices and you're not it. See what they do.
Yeah, one more thought is you have a master's degree. Also look into an EDD program, because you may be qualified for that. You can kind of kill two birds with one stone, get into the next level.
That's interesting. I wonder if the state had any reimbursement, even if the local teachers don't. I doubt it.
Can always look.
Always turn over some rocks. That puts this hour of the Ramsey Show in the books. Dave here. You can find all of our shows with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. It's the only place to listen to the entire back catalog of episodes. Download the Ramsey Network app in your favorite app store today.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. As you know, at Ramsey, we're always looking to protect our listeners from scummy companies, slick marketing, and money myths. I'm George Camel, host of The Fine Print, where I do the research for you to help you rise above the system that's designed to keep you broke and in debt so that you can become confident in your money choices. Check out The Fine Print wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.